Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
App. Touch
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You do whatever it takes. This is your dream to win this thing. And when your back's against the wall and you know they're one away, you know, it hurts a little bit. But I think I got a different perspective when our guys stepped up and just talked about being in this position and knowing that if we just do our jobs, we're a family. We believe in each other. And just the thought of it being over tonight was terrifying. Like, you know, I mean, we come all this way and we come together when it matters. And I think tonight was just a good example of that.
Far side, squeezed it up top, Carlo Rister, Binnington, they score! Brandon Carlo celebrates, Bruins 2, Blues nothing.
Let's go, Bruins!
Rebound, Rask, what a stop out in front! Parayko tees it up, Rask the save as he took that right in the midsection.
The puck disappears for a second, there you see hung up in his gear.
Reached up with a left hand and stared at it.
Coleman has shot. He scores! Coleman with his brilliant goal, his first ever in the Stanley Cup playoffs to make it a 3-0 game.
Play bumped off the puck by Corrali, centered out in front. Pastrnak shoots, he scores! The forecheck generates a turnover. David Pastrnak with a head fake. Got Binnington shot a minute, and then he snaps it in. Bruins 4, Blues 1.
What we all dream about doing. I mean, we're here for a reason, and you know, everyone that plays hockey, you know, grows up and dreams of playing in this moment, and to see him kind of set the tone that way, you know, made us all want to run through a wall.
Chara's gonna try it long range. Chuki stars! The Bruins captain, Sedano Chara, from the hash marks near circle of his own zone, lofts one in from long range and empty net goal. Bruins 5, Blues 1.
And Sedano Chara has made it 5-1.
And the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with 4 goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killers magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a game 7 on Wednesday. That'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
And the whole hockey world loves a game 7, so it should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, the Boston Bruins last night force a game 7 in Boston. And I'll tell you this, is that I follow the St. Louis media. I'm a Cardinal fan. And a lot of the columnists seem to have not... They don't. It seems like they're writing about hockey for the first time. Even though St. Louis has a rabid fan base, they are denying that the coach
Berube
had
question the officials.
Okay, there's audio of that, and that's another thing.
They're acting like that Cassidy was the first guy to talk about that.
By the way, this
officiating crew should do game seven. The officiating last night was perfectly fair.
I think they did a great job.
I agree.
So they should
do game seven. They won't. Because the NHL will screw it up.
Let's talk about that Berube thing, because the one quote that he had that switched the entire tone as far as the refereeing was concerned of the series was after Game 3, Berube got out there and said, we're the least penalized team throughout the postseason, and all of a sudden, look, we're getting 17 calls in the first three games against us, and that's just not true. And that's something at the time, there hadn't been a big background check when he said those things, but if you take a look, he's wrong. As a matter of fact, every single round that they were in, even if you like spread it out for the amount of games they played and like penalties per game and did it all that way, they weren't anywhere near the most penalized team in any round.
You know who I first read that from?
Who?
Mr. Michael Hurley.
Well, I mean, Michael Hurley he's got the magnifying glass out there. He's now, you're just shaking it down.
He's now he's fully engulfed in a penalty gate.
But so look what happens when you have a well-called game. One where it seems to be an officiating crew that I don't think either side can complain one way or the other.
Hey, Bruins, I think St. Louis had 4 power play chances to 2 for the Bruins. And how many Bruins centers got tossed out of the faceoff dot?
Well, that's been happening the whole postseason.
But that leads to great success for St. Louis. They won almost 6 out of every 10 last night.
I think that's BS half the time anyway. How can you possibly tell how you kicked those guys out?
I honestly never played.
Either way, it happens just so fast. But you're right, Fred. I mean, for him to deny that, and the media is still continuing to deny that, there's audio, and then the gall after game 5 to say that he doesn't like to comment on the refereeing.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you're wrong. We have the audio. It backs it up. But
famously, it's a Trump move. I mean, he said something and then I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you talk about the media in St. Louis. I just think the people of St. Louis lost their minds and just completely blew it over the last 48 hours. Like, they didn't know how to handle almost being there. Like, not quite winning, but almost being there. Well, first I saw a pretty funny sign out in the crowd. Just funny just how over the top it was. On TV, somebody had a giant sign of Brad Marchand, and in big letters it said, Cousin Effer. Like, right behind on TV, I'm like, all right, well, that's fairly subtle. Imagine going into Kinko's and asking for that.
Is he a Jerry Lee Lewis?
Jerry Lee Lewis. But, I mean, do you go and ask the guy, what would you like, Ariel Font on that? No, I'll take New Times Roman on Cousin Effer. But then you had, of course, what happened with the St. Louis Dispatch, and that being that they had a big front page for a little while yesterday that said, congratulations to our champions, the St. Louis Blues. And it's got a picture of them all celebrating. And then they ran a bunch of ads from advertisers, which you know this happens, where they say, in case they win, do you want to run an ad for that thing? Now, I think the most embarrassing of all of it, though, would be that in the paper is a letter that was written by Tom Stillman, who is the chairman of the St. Louis Blues. And it starts off by saying, thank you, St. Louis. And this was on the website for a while yesterday, enough for a ton of people to see it. And the letter is, it's surreal to reflect on this past season. Several highlights stand out. The offseason acquisitions, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes, and the excitement of making it to our first Stanley Cup final in 49 years. And of course, the elation of breaking through and bringing St. Louis its first ever Stanley Cup. Winning the Stanley Cup was a dream come true for many of all of you. It says all of us will remember where we were, what we did, and how we felt when the Blues brought the cup home. Each of us will have a library of memories to pass down for generations. Each of us will forever think of that person in our lives for whom this time meant so much.
What a life is that. What are you leaving your legacy? Is that I was around when the Blues won the cup.
It says we are so very proud of our players, our organization.
You should have known it. My great granddad was around when the Blues won the Stanley Cup.
Hey, that's great.
Was he on the team? No. He was around.
Existed.
He was alive.
He was 48.
It was on the tombstone. Was alive when the Blues won the Cup.
It says, and now together we can finally say, quote, we won the Cup for St. Louis. And it says, on behalf of the entire Blues organization, thank you for your unwavering support. We look forward to celebrating with you as we parade the cup down Market Street.
I just want to make sure I have this right. And you were talking about the rabid fan base. I think that's more slanted toward the Cardinals than it is the Blues, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I seem to remember we looked this up at the beginning of the series. I think the Blues were a bottom six team as far as attendance goes, percentage-wise, and filling their building during the regular season.
Well, they were in last place until, like, I mean, January, they're in last place.
Well, yeah, I understand, but I mean, just still.
It's a great story, but I mean.
The Blues are not known. I mean, St. Louis is not known for their hockey fandom, I guess is my point.
They've been pretty consistent. It's not Carolina. I mean, they're fans.
No, they're better than Carolina. I get it.
No. It's a baseball town. Completely a baseball town. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. If you go to St. Louis any other time, I would assume until now, you go downtown and it's all Cardinal stuff.
Like, yeah, St. Louis, like, in the early 90s, made it to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, and it was nuts. I mean, I remember this because my sister went to school there, and I was there at the time, and the fan base was crazy. And I was asking her, is it always like this? You're like, no, I've been here 4 years. It's the first time anyone's paid attention.
I mean, it's definitely a baseball town by far. All right, we'll be right back.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Krejci's got it.
You're listening.
Back on side. Krejci, right circle. Coleman, wrister. He scores! Carson Coleman ripped it just inside the near post. Over the blocker, ahead of Jordan Binnington. Make it 3-0 Bruins.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Bruins last night, 5-1 victory, Game 6 against the St. Louis Blues Wednesday. They will be playing at Boston in Game 7. Billy Jaffe was on the air last night at Nesson doing the big pre and post game. Billy Jaffe joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Billy Jaffe.
Hello, Fred Dutcher. Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. You sound wide awake. Now, listen, what was different last night? What did you see?
Speed, baby. Speed. I feel the need for speed. Who was it said that? Goose or Maverick? One of them in that long time ago movie?
It was Maverick.
It was both
Maverick.
Of them together in unison. Come on, no, jerk. Like you don't know. With a high five.
I don't remember. I really don't.
Goose just said, I'm not taking my shirt off.
No, okay. But that, you know what? In unison, the Bruins had speed. So there you go. They were moving, and they, you know, they, there were still a few times that I was yelling, shoot at the TV, you know, at the monitor to get them to move the puck off the stick a little quicker, but they were moving for the most part. And, you know, first period, Pastrnak dumped the puck. Marchand, it wasn't even dumped, it was a chip into a right spot, and they got their feet going. And at one point, we're breaking down the game, you know, in the green room, talking about how they're forcing the feet of the Blues to have to move defensively, but also to have to turn. And anytime you know, if you can get the feet of the defender to have to turn, not just pivot side, but turn all the way around, and then you get turning another direction, you start creating some space for yourself. And the other thing is Tuukka was fantastic when needed to be. I mean, you want to talk about a team performance for the ages, meaning that was the right thing, especially on the PK. You know, it's such a cliche, but your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer. He was so good on the PK. And, you know, St. Louis's power play isn't great. But at one point, they had 12 shots in those first three power plays or four power plays, whatever it was. And Tuukka was fantastic there, and that's such a difference.
Okay, so yesterday was a game where I think we can all agree that the officiating was pretty fair for both sides. And now that there's a Game 7, and the Blues have had this whole thing where they've been over-the-top physical to the point where it's been dirty in several of the games, but you can't do that in a Game 7. So how do both teams approach how they're going to play, and who does that benefit?
Well, I think first of all, if both teams are going to approach, they're going to say they're going to want to get to their game. Don't forget, St. Louis was going to try to just play their smart game in Game 6, and who was it that had the early penalty? Was it Chen, if I remember correctly, right early in the game? He's running around. Corrali had it. It was Chen, the boarding on Joakim Nordstrom. I wouldn't think that St. Louis is going to change that much from it. If they go cautious, Rich, they're done. They're completely done. That doesn't mean that they've got to be hitting high, it just means that they can't not hit. If they try and skate completely with the Bruins, which is why the move to put Coolman in ended up being a stroke of genius by Cassidy, because it just increased the pace, especially on that second line. And that's the Bruins' strength. So each team's going to look to establish it. And with regard to the officiating, and by the way, if they – you asked me a direct question. It benefits the Bruins. If they try and run around, meaning St. Louis, and only worrying about hitting, if the Bruins don't play, you know, play smart hockey, it benefits them. If the Bruins play hesitate hockey, it doesn't benefit them. Now, listen, the officiating crew from last night, I put that out there in social media, they should be the crew that refs Game 7. It was the cleanest game that we had. You know, I didn't love the Chara penalty. I mean, whatever. You're not going to agree with everything the officials call. I mean, come on.
They let a lot of stuff go, too, which was good.
Well, that's right, and there's a veteran ref, and one of them, Chris Rooney, very veteran, and he's been working with Gord Dwyer all playoffs, and there weren't a lot of issues. And so, I mean, I said it again, and I firmly believe it. It's the cleanest crew that we've had. These guys should be doing Game 7.
All right, but to that point, St. Louis went over the line a little bit at the end. You saw Bortuzzo take a couple of cheap shots at the end and then wink at the bench coming off the ice. What is the motivation for that? Is it to try and induce some payback to give St. Louis an early power play in Game 7?
No. That's called I'm pissed off. It's the end of the game, and I'm just going to look. It's hockey. It's hockey right there. There's nothing. I mean, the Bruins, I'm going to guess that most of those guys will forget about what happened at the end of the game. I will. They're not going to be worried. If you're worried about that or thinking about that, if you're the Bruins or the Blues, you're screwed going into Game 7. That's just the end of the game. Frustration. I'm going to be a tough guy. I'm going to see what kind of – I'm going to see if I can rattle them here a little bit. But you're talking two full days off in between games. That's just being, you know, a dummy at the end of the game. That's it, Wallace.
So that was an old-school Berube, make them give them something to think about like it was at the end of Game 3?
Well, sure. I mean, it's old-school. That's part of – you know, we – it's part of the culture of hockey that some people don't understand. Most people in Boston do. But that's, I mean, is it Berube saying that, you know, Game 6 to Game 7, again, if you're, who is it, Nolachari took a hit. Nolachari's not going to be looking for Bortuzzo to get payback in the first shift he's out there for that pop at the end of the game. You know, yes, it's cheap, and yes, it's just part of the game. I mean, at that point, it's Bortuzzo trying to have some kind of input or impact on the game, and we're a game where he didn't have a ton of it.
All right, so when you take a look at how some of the, I mean, as you said, what a streak of genius to put Coleman in there. When I take it you believe he's going to go the exact same lineup for Game 7.
Today, I would say yes. And, you know, the obvious thing is health. He's going to take a look at his lineup. And, yeah, I mean, if everything equal, yeah, absolutely, Rich. He'll go with the same lineup again. I mean, the Coleman factor got Jake DeBrusk in him in tandem, got them moving with speed. You could see the giddy up, the little pep in David Krejci's step from the first shift, and he loves big games, but he likes it even more when he's, you know, he's with guys that are moving, and because that forces not only him to move, but that gives him that opportunity now to put pucks into areas and puck touches. And yeah, I think he would go with the same lineup because of that.
Yeah, I didn't think Krejci was that great last night, but we move on. Ivan Barbashev did not play last night. I was reading, interestingly enough, that was going to be a factor in the game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that's the case?
Yes, I do. Sorry, guys, I'm coughing. I do. I think it was impactful. Was it the difference? No, but that fourth line, that identity, Rich, Fred, sorry, you know how important the identity of the Bruins' fourth line is, right? Well, you know, the Blues are saying the same thing about their fourth line, and Barbashev, while he has finished high many times and he paid the price for it, he's their leader in hits coming into the game, and he's part of that fourth line that has given them a feel of whenever they're on the ice, they know something good is going to happen, whether it's matching up against the opponent's top line or creating havoc on the forecheck. So, yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's part of just like the piece of putting Coolman in is a part of it, too. It wasn't the reason the Bees won, and it wasn't the reason that the Blues lost, but it definitely had an impact.
Okay, this is a future question, and you know, we have a couple days before Game 7, so I feel comfortable asking it. Okay. Is Backes going to play next year? Like, not that he's going to retire, but, I mean, is he going to play a majority of the games next year?
I would think so, but I don't know about I don't have a number.
No, I'm not asking for.
I don't know.
I'm saying Is he going to play? Like how?
I think he'll play next year. I do. I mean, look, the Bruins are going to have to make a choice with him. And yes, you're getting well ahead of it with Game 7 in a few nights. But the Bruins will have to look at their where they are salary cap-wise. They'll have to look at options. They'll have to look at everything. And they'll make a decision whether it'll be with – I think Backes will play next year. I absolutely
no,
do.
No, but do you think that he'll actually get on the ice
yes.
the majority of the time?
He'll get on the ice. Look, the Bruins have a choice. Do they keep him? Do they trade him? Do they buy him out? They're going to have to look at things, and they're going to have – it's like a lot of these players, you know, and the window opens June 15th, right after the Stanley Cup. So I'm not even worried about that right now, though. I mean, I should have taken the first option. I haven't truthfully thought about it.
All right, well, you got to get on that. I mean
– Oh, I know.
You got a couple of days before Game 7. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, you don't want to know what I'm going to do. It's a long list of stuff. But yes, I'll worry about that June 15th.
You got hits on the NHL Network today?
Not today. Not today. I think tomorrow and Wednesday. I got other stuff to do though. You know?
What do you got?
What do I have? I've got a podcast to do in about 20 minutes on The Athletic. I got the show that I've been doing all playoff long there. I think I have another show to do. I can't remember the name of it. It's a betting show.
Well, maybe it must be something else. Now, how many rabbits have you killed over the last couple days?
You know what? Yesterday when I got a text, I was at Nesson and there, and it was my wife showing me that there was a big fat rabbit sitting on the side, and I wrote back, "Get it." And so we had my son run after it. Scared a few times. Otherwise, I haven't had it in the last few days, but it was big. It was strong. It was a battle, it looked like, between him and my son.
Why don't you just...
What's going on? So you had like rabbits in your front yard?
He's got rabbits all over the place.
Destroying his
yard. How many have you killed, though?
I haven't been able to kill any.
Why would you kill a rabbit?
Because they're causing havoc.
They're tearing up my yard, Rich. They're tearing it up.
Big holes. Big holes in the yard.
Yeah, you got to kill them.
Yes.
Caddyshack.
Exactly.
It's a gopher.
Right, or Davy Crockett.
Starring his son is Bill Murray. Yes.
Right. Billy Jaffe
is the Jewish Davy Crockett.
Yes. So I haven't done the morning walk with a coffee to see what they've torn up overnight. But let's hope not. Let's hope.
Well, just get a shovel out there and start killing them sons of bitches.
Yeah, they may have to. PETA won't be happy with me, but it's okay.
You know, they're varmints.
They are.
The varmints. All right. Thank you, Billy Jaffe.
Good morning, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
You
okay?
Too, sir. All right. Rich certainly had the opportunity to talk to Rob Gronkowski. He went out to Woburn to the Rob Gronkowski. He was doing a clinic.
Yep. Like a pro camp for kids.
And Rich, I've not heard the interview, but he gets
It is very. Let's just say it ends weird.
Okay.
Huh.
Are you glad you went out there?
You know what? Yeah. At first I wasn't, and now I think I am.
Oh, good. Well, Rich was asked to go out to Woburn on a weekend, and he went out there and talked to Rob Gronkowski, and we'll find out. There's a lot of mystery around it. Rich won't tell me what went down, but I would like to hear about it. Here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey, Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich was out in Woburn. What day was it, Rich?
Saturday. Saturday morning.
It was a clinic that Rob Gronkowski was hosting. Rich was given the opportunity to talk to Rob Gronkowski, and what happened, Rich?
Well, so I was asked this week whether or not I wanted to go out to his pro camp that he does. He's done this for years now with a bunch of kids, like, you know, it's like around the age of like 10 or so. And would I like to go interview him for 10 minutes after his camp is done? And I was like, well, yeah, absolutely, because this is going to be one of the first times where we can talk to Rob Gronkowski now that he's retired, where he's going to be able to say whatever he wants. He's not going to be under the gun of, you know, under the threat of Bill Belichick telling him what he can or can't say. And for the first time, he can really talk about what his upcoming projects are. Like, now that you're retired, you know, let's talk about your movies. I would think if he's someone who is about to get into the film industry, he would probably want to, like, let everyone know and plug his upcoming projects, wouldn't you think? Like most actors do when they're talking about films.
That's the whole point of an interview for most people.
Sure, sure. So I was like, this is going to be a kind of a cool thing because I'm going to get 10 minutes with him and we can talk about all the, and it's going to be like, you know, it's one of the first times too when he's not a Patriot where you don't have to ask him Patriot questions. It's going to be a fun interview about, tell me all the great things you got coming up now that you're retired. So I was at the camp and there's like hundreds of kids there. And the way that it started is they brought me over to the field he was on in like a golf cart. And when I got up, they said, all right, we're going to go get Rob to come and speak with you. And then I look out in the field and Rob Gronkowski is in the middle of like a football game with all these kids, like having the time of his life. I mean, the dude just lives to do this. I mean, he's so great with these kids. He does tons of stuff for charity. And then I look around, by the way, and I notice that everyone in his family is there. And I mean, everyone in his family, all five brothers, the dad is there. There's grandkids. They're all there doing this camp and he is having the time of his life. So one of the people who runs the camp goes, Rob, I need you to do this interview. And immediately, I feel like an a-hole because they pull him away from just him, like in his happy place. He's like, all right. And Gronkowski, you know, is a very affable guy and he didn't like roll his eyes and he seemed very, you know, like cordial to be doing the interview. But that kind of set the tone for, I guess, kind of where we were going on this. So they bring Rob Gronkowski over and a bunch of people with cameras start taking pictures of me interviewing Rob for some reason. And here's how things go.
So this is awesome. I've been here for about an hour looking at this camp. Is the whole entire Gronkowski family here?
Yeah, we got about everyone. We got all my brothers here. We got my brother's kids here. My brother's other quarterback, his first two passes were interceptions over there. So we're just having a blast here. We're having a good time. We're running around. We're getting a workout in too, and it's going good.
I saw your dad on grandpa duty. He's got some little one. Is he good at changing diapers?
Yeah, he's really good at changing diapers. He loves doing it too, so whenever one of our brothers has kids, he's always changing the diapers. It's perfect.
Now, being around all these kids this age, does this bring you back to when you were with your brothers and you guys used to beat the snot out of each other at this age?
Yeah, actually, it's really cool because now I have all my brothers. We all grew up together and we used to just pound on each other. We used to play all the games in the backyard, basketball, football, whatever it was. So just coming back out here with each other now, you know, in a different way now. We're not beating on each other. We're just having a good time. We're competing versus each other still, but in a different way now, and it's awesome.
Was there one move that, like, you know, either, you know, Chris or Glenn had that just you feared? Like, I had two older brothers. They do a thing with my elbow into my ribs.
Yeah. So my one brother, Glenn, we call it a treatment. He took his two fists and put it, like, right here underneath my chin and my neck. It like hurt and it tickled at the same time, so it made you super weak, and it always worked.
Did you have a power move, like, to retaliate?
Yeah, I just went full out, whatever I could come up with at the moment.
Now, okay, so now that you're retired, did Brady or RKK or any of those guys, did they throw you a retirement party?
Oh yeah, last night. Actually, no, two nights ago, the ring party. So I consider that my retirement party.
So they cheaped out on you. They used that party. See, I would think they'd immediately do something big for you.
No, it's all good. We had a big celebration. We had a big 9 years all together, and we all stay in touch, and it's going great, man.
How was it the other night? Like, I mean, obviously, you've done this before. Does it feel like old hat, or does it all seem like new once again?
Oh, no, it was awesome. I mean, we got to see all the guys again. Mr. Kraft is having us at his house. Just so thankful for that situation. He had such a great setup for us, and just the way he does everything, it's first class, and it was a fun time.
Any of the guys beg you to come back? Anyone at the party?
Yeah, all these little kids keep saying come back, and it's great. It's great to see that, and it's cool to see them, that they're all huge football fans and Patriot fans, too, so it's awesome.
See, that's the thing, is that this is so great, and you do so much with the community, too, and now that you're retired, like, is this all going to go away? Are you going to move, or are you going to stay, like, here in Massachusetts?
Oh, man, I still answer with the Bill Belichick questions. I learned that. He taught me one thing in life, and knows how to answer with his questions, and I take one day at a time, baby.
But you're not underneath the leash anymore. Now, movies. Right,
one more question. No more questions, actually.
No more about the movies? Do you have any plans? Like, everyone said you're going to do some films. Anything in the...
dog.
Sure?
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
I'm
man.
Here for the kids. I don't want to be here all day.
Okay, you got it. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
See you, man.
All right, so I was given 10 minutes, and I got barely 2.5 with Rob Gronkowski. And so the thing, when I walked away, I was like, oh, all right. So I got 2.5 instead of 10. And then I started thinking about it. All right, if you're truly retired and you don't plan on coming back, why did you kind of clam up when I asked about if you're going to move out of Foxborough? And then why not talk about your movie projects? Why not plug it, and why immediately walk away? Is that because you don't have any lined up because you plan on coming back?
I like your thinking here. I like it a lot.
Also, on top of that,
I like the way this is going.
If you're Tom Brady or any of your teammates, and your teammate's retiring, who's like your best friend, you don't do anything for him? Like, that was another thing that was a little strange. I mean, it was one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, on top of a lot of news that came out this weekend that there's, like, I think Bleacher Report said they spoke to a bunch of people inside the Patriots organization that, off the record, believe that he's 100% coming back. And just after that interview, the way he clammed up and the way he like wouldn't talk about anything having to do with movies, where if you're retired, you would want to plug that, wouldn't you? You would want people to know what you're doing. You're excited about it. It's the first time you don't have the leash and you don't say anything. Just I left and I'm like, all right, dude's coming back. He's coming back. And I wish he wouldn't, because, I mean, obviously, if you're a fan of Rob Gronkowski, which, Fred, I know we're all a fan of Rob Gronkowski, the guy, you know, you hear about how much he's been hit and how he's been hurt. And you don't want the guy to get, like, you know, hurt to the point where he can't walk anymore. You almost don't want him to come back if you're a fan of the guy. So that was the impression that I got after I left. When he clammed up, when I started asking about what his future was and whether he was going to move from Massachusetts, that's annoying. All right, he's answering this way because he's essentially feels he's still under the thumb of Bill Belichick and shouldn't be answering those questions.
I like this. I like this a lot.
That's what I got from it.
And
I got the impression that he didn't want to do the interview.
Well, then why agree to do 10 minutes?
Well, he did.
Well, he originally agreed to do 10 minutes.
So Rob Gronkowski said, I want to do 10 minutes.
I'm sure he didn't want to, but he agreed to. Otherwise, Rich wouldn't have shown up and said, you know what, we can give you 2 minutes.
Okay, then even if he didn't want to do it, why after I asked the question about his movies or... like what he was going to be doing, like whether he's going to be moving, why say, well, I'm from the Bill Belichick school where I'm just not going to say anything?
I didn't get that out of the interview. If you did, I got that.
Yeah, I did. I did.
He didn't want to do it.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, it didn't start off on the right foot.
I thought he didn't want to do it and just, he didn't want to do the interview.
But the questions that I asked during the time that I had with him, he evaded the answers.
I just got the impression he didn't want to do the interview. But I mean, if you took anything away from it, then good.
Yeah. After the interview, now he's coming back. He's coming back. And the thing is, too, is it came out right when all this other information was... like, the matter of fact, there's also the Bleacher Report also... oh, and I guess his girlfriend, is it Camille Kostick? I don't know if you pronounced that correctly. She even said that... he goes that last month she said, I think he's messing with everybody. And then again, he stumps me all the time, so who knows? He could be pulling this out of the woodwork at some time. I would love to see him out there, but I'm also respecting him taking this time for himself, healing up his body, and enjoying the time off. Doesn't that sound to you like he hasn't fully committed into not coming back? So that's what I got out of it. There you go. Out of the 2.5 minutes that I got with Rob Gronkowski, that's the one thing I got out of it.
You have to justify the trip to Woburn. And you spent an hour there before you had to talk to him?
I just like to get there early because I hate to be late. That's why.
Okay.
It wasn't because I had to be. I hate being late.
But listen, if I had to go to Woburn on a Saturday, I'd want to get something out of the interview too. Especially if I got screwed and it only took 2.5 minutes. I mean, that's your Saturday. That ain't fun.
I like getting out of the house. especially right now.
I understand.
I had no problem.
Because your wife can't walk really?
I mean, that's part of it. You can't really, you have to kind of stick around, which is fine. But I get cabin fever and I got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
So I had no problem being there.
Yeah. I have no problem getting out of the house. It's constant on the weekends. The weekends just suck. Just constant. Constant. Today, I can actually go to the pool. I can enjoy myself.
Ah.
All weekend, just terrible. Well, there you go. Rob Gronkowski is coming back to football. And Rich had to go to Woburn, which he didn't mind, to get 2.5 minutes.
Woburn's not far from me anyway. Woburn's like, I think it was about like a 12-minute drive.
That's 12 minutes from downtown to Woburn all the way out?
Yeah, you take 93 just straight up.
I know how to get there. I'm thinking 12 minutes is pretty good. Yeah, man, that's faster than I've ever heard of before.
It's a Saturday. All right, so there you go. All right, we have lots to talk about. 617-779-0985. We can get some listeners' comments on the Bruins. Game 7 coming up on Wednesday.
We also got to talk about that intermission. There's something that needs to be discussed.
Oh, okay. I would love to hear about the intermission. We will talk about that in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
.org. There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I grew up in this one neighborhood that it was one of the baddest neighborhoods in the Dominican Republic, and it was a nightmare. As a kid, you don't put much attention to it, but your parents do, you know what I'm saying? My dad, he always wanted me to be playing in the backyard of the house, not in the front. Because anything can happen. You don't want to see your child being shot or getting hit by something that can put his life in danger.
.985 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and that is the voice of David Ortiz, who, thank goodness this morning, we're not doing any in memoriams. That was a scary moment last night. If you saw the news sometime around the middle of the third period of the Bruins game, news broke that David Ortiz in the Dominican Republic was at a restaurant, a lounge, or a bar. And if you've seen the video, he's sitting down talking with friends. And from behind him comes a man with which looks like a rifle. It's not a handgun. It's kind of grainy, so you can't tell what type of gun it is. Just walks up behind him and shoots him in the back. And according to reports, the bullet went from, like, it went through his back and out his abdomen. Now, he is in stable condition, and it looks like he is going to end up being okay.
The latest is he's stable in intensive care and had parts of his intestines and colon removed, and apparently there was some liver damage as well.
Yeah, so the doctors had to continue to work on him through late in the night, and that's when parts of his organs had to be treated and removed. He's in intensive care, but he is considered stable at the time. And the other thing about this story is it was reported originally as a like a robbery. Like there was going to be some sort of, like the bar was being robbed, and it was nothing like that.
No
this
chance.
Seemed like somebody who was hell-bent on shooting and possibly killing David Ortiz, and because he walks right behind him, shoots him. Of course, everyone starts running away. The guy pulled up on a motorcycle and went into this place and did that. Now, since then, there have been videos that have come out. I don't know how far after the shooting. I would have to think fairly immediate. You don't just go and shoot probably one of the most famous people in your neighborhood who happens to be there and just walk out of a place. So about 10, 15 guys, there's a video, were able to get a hold of this dude, and they, for about 3 minutes on this video, just beat the living snot out of the guy. And in the video, you know, they got him on the ground, they're kicking him in the head, they're punching him in the face, the guy's screaming for water, and they, you know, they continue to just like beat the hell out of the guy. And I guess they have him in custody now, and after he gets treated and fully recovers and is probably able to speak, and although it looks like his jaw's probably broken in 1,000 places, then they're going to question him. And there's a lot of speculation out there as to who this guy was. I don't want to run with that because none of that has been confirmed. There's some people saying that he was actually working for David Ortiz, but as I said, that's not none of that stuff's been confirmed. But he is, according to his father, is going to be okay. And I know that, I'm watching this video one more time, and it just, this dude walks right up behind him. He's sitting with his back to the guy. So he's sitting facing like the left on the camera, and the guy comes up and just shoots him in the back, and everyone goes running. So David Ortiz, we will give you updates. I mean, I know that you said that you've got some people who've been reporting and giving you, because last night they said that it hadn't hit any organs, and now all of a sudden this morning they're saying that they took his gallbladder out, and his liver has had some damage too.
In his colon.
And it was his colon as well?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So he is expected to recover, but, you know, that is that's some scary, scary stuff.
It seemed like an assassination attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the guy can go up to someone right in their back with a gun and not, I mean, David Ortiz, very lucky.
Like, what was your plan?
I don't,
if you're that guy.
But, I mean, he obviously maybe got nervous or something else. I just like that he was begging for water while he was getting beaten up.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you can like, see like him, somewhere, and he's, like, reaching. And I think he actually ends up getting, like, what looks like a jug of water. There's this, looks like a vent, not a vending machine, but, like, a cooler. And he grabs it and just starts pouring it over his head. And then, of course, that's when he gets beaten up even more. It's, like, 3 minutes of this dude getting throttled by the people in the bar.
All right, so we will be back. Here are the headlines.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.